Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
I have seen more than one man so busy wanting to have a little more that he'll neglect the house of God. And all of that missing church and all of that overtime and all of that covetousness that filled their heart led them only to the destruction of their own family. My friend, we would be far better off with fewer possessions and with a family that loves Jesus and loves one another.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how he can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Focus of Our Race.
In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Of course, these verses follow Hebrews chapter 11, which is often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of those who were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of Abraham, speaking of Moses in the Old Testament, speaking of the martyrs of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of the multitudes who have been faithful to God. And so in chapter 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And really what we have in chapter 12 is a picture of a great stadium. That stadium is filled with those who have gone before us in their faith, those who have been faithful to God. They are, if you will, the spectators of a race. The stadium is filled with spectators, men and women who have already run their race. Much like those of us who might go to a professional baseball game or even a high school football game, our days of running around the field is basically over, and yet we're there watching some younger and more well-conditioned racers as they do what they are doing on the field. Well, Hebrews 11 describes those who have finished their race. They are the spectators. But then there are the runners in Hebrews chapter 12, and those would be the believers who are being faithful during difficult times to run their race. If you will, this morning, the spectators that are in the stands are those men and women who've gone before us and who have been faithful, and those who are running the race would be each of us who are saved, who are alive in this world today, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes in the Bible, the Christian life is likened unto a race. It is likened unto an exercise of spiritual proportion. Sometimes the Apostle Paul would speak about the Christian life, and he would speak about it in terms of fighting a fight or running a race, like fighting in the Olympic Games. And I want you to recognize this morning that while many have gone before us, each of us are here today still running our race. Each of us have a prize to win for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And I wonder when that time comes for each of us, will someone be able to say that you fought a good fight? Will someone be able to say that you finished your course? Will someone be able to say that until your last breath, you kept the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that was Paul's testimony. He said, "I have been running my race faithfully for the Lord." Now this morning, how can we win this race? How can we be faithful to the end in the race called the Christian life? There was an interview a few years ago of a runner by the name of Bernard Laggett. He was a world-class runner from Kenya. And during the Sydney Olympics, some interviewers came to him and they said, "Bernard," they said, "how is it that Kenya is able to produce so many great runners. It seems like per capita, your country has more great runners than any other country. Bernard thought about it for a moment, and then he said, I think it's the road signs in Kenya. One road sign in particular motivates me. It says, beware of the lions. I think that would help me to run a little faster too. But you know, in the Christian life, we're not running away from something. We're running to someone. We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So many religions motivate people by fear, and they're running away from something. But in the Christian life, we are motivated by the fact that one day we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I would like to speak to you this morning about the focus of our race as Christians, how we can win the race that is set before us. Notice, if you would, in our outline this morning, the discipline of the race. The discipline of the race. I know that many times discipline is an ugly word in our culture today, but it doesn't matter what kind of a race you're entering into, you will not be a winner if you're not willing to have certain disciplines in your life. I remember as a young man on a basketball team, and I thought my parents had rules until I met my basketball coach. My basketball coach said, there will be no dating during this basketball season. You will not drink Coca-Cola during this basketball season. You will not eat candy bars during this basketball season. I mean, he wanted us to think about one thing, and that was basketball. You talk about a harsh and a rough coach. But he was trying to instill within us discipline and the ability to say no to certain things and to say yes to exercise and to the disciplines and fundamentals of the sport in order that we might have a winning season. Well, in the Christian life, there are certain disciplines that must be remembered if we are going to run the race effectively. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, seeing that there's a stadium filled with those who have gone before us, the Bible says, let us, those of us in the race, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The discipline of the race requires then, in the first place, that we would lay aside the weights. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about the sins, but right now, think, if you would, about the word weights. God says, I want you to lay aside some things that are not necessarily sins. They're not necessarily immoral. They're not necessarily ungodly. But there are things that hold you back from going forward in the Christian life. And I want you to notice what it says there in verse 1. It says, let us lay aside every weight. It is not someone else that will lay these aside for you. It will be you and you alone. Men, there are some things that perhaps if your wife could change, she would. But she cannot tell you to lay aside your hobby. She cannot tell you to lay aside the friendships that are not necessarily wrong, but they're a weight to you. They're pulling you down. Now, she might like to tell you that, but in reality, you must determine this morning, I want to win the race that God has given to me. And I recognize there are some things that pull me down in the race. I never was a long distance runner, but I did run a little track in high school. And I know that if you're going to win a race, you're not going to run with your regular street shoes and with your warm-up jacket on. You're going to have to lay some things aside to get as light as you can get. Now, someone might want to argue and say, well, there's nothing wrong with wearing a warm-up suit. Who are you to tell me to take off my warm-up suit? And yet you're not their enemy. You're just trying to help them win the race. Someone might say, well, I'll tell you right now, I have worn these Florsheim wingtips. I've worn them for 25 years. I'm going to run this race in my wingtip shoes. And who are you to tell me I have to take these shoes off? And you're not trying to be bossy. You're just trying to be a good coach to help them win the race. Sometimes people say, well, who are you to tell me I can't be a member of this club or this bowling league or this group that I'm in? Who are you to tell me that? Listen, I can't, but I'm telling you today, you must let the Spirit of God speak to you. If there's something holding you back from being a faithful Christian, then God says, be willing to lay it aside. It might not even be a sin, but it may be something that just pulls you back. And it must be you and you alone that says, I need to lay that aside as I run this race. I think of some in this room this morning. Last Sunday morning, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just got on the track. And the fact is, some of you got on the track, and there might be some things in your life as you grow as a Christian. God's going to challenge you to lay those aside, not because He doesn't want what's best for you, but because He wants best for you. Now, lay aside the weights, the Bible says. This requires then an exercise. Notice the exercise. We're going to put some things off. We're going to take some things out of our life. Would you look in your notes this morning at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22? It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, which means lifestyle, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, the Christian life is a put off and a put on type of a life. There are some things that we will put off. There are some things that we will put on. And God says some of those things that are from the old life, the old man, the old nature, those things need to be put aside in order that we might run the race that God has for us. Sometimes it will be a material possession. The Bible says in Luke 12, 15, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. There is nothing wrong with possessions until those possessions become a form of idolatry in our life. I have seen more than one man so busy wanting to have a little more and a little bigger that he'll work on Wednesdays, work on Sundays. He'll neglect the house of God, and he'll often neglect his own family. And I've seen men get to the place where finally they had the home, they had the material possessions that they wanted. There was only one problem. They were so far from God, and their heart was so stony cold that they literally ruined their family. Their children became filled with bitterness. Their wife left, or they left for another woman. And all of that missing church and all of that overtime and all of that covetousness that filled their heart led them only to the destruction of their own family. My friend, we would be far better off with fewer possessions and with a family that loves Jesus and loves one another. And sometimes we need to lay aside some of the weights that would hold us back. You know, I've found that if we'll seek first the kingdom of God, and if we'll love and honor God, He can give you that promotion at work. He can give you those customers at work. He can do things that you never could do in your greatest drivenness to accomplish. God will bless someone who seeks Him first. And so the exercise involves laying aside some of these things. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, this race we're running, it's a serious race. It's a Christian battle. And we must lay aside those things that would trip us up as we run. There's an exercise that must be followed. There's an exchange that takes place when we are saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now I ask you this morning, what is it that God would have you to lay aside in order that you might go forward for Him? Oh, let's not argue about why we can wear our sweatsuit, why we can wear our wingtips. You can if you want. But we're not just talking about being in the race. We're talking about winning the race today. What is it that perhaps needs to be set aside so that you can really go on for the Lord Jesus? He says, lay aside the weights. Notice what else He says, though, in verse 1. He said, let us lay aside every weight. And notice, secondly, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. God says, I want you to lay aside some weights. I want you to lay aside, secondly, the sin which doth so easily beset us. The word sin here means the offenses, those things that are contrary to God's will for our lives, those things that are against the Bible. And I like what the terminology says. It says the sin which doth so easily beset us. How many of you have ever heard of the term a besetting sin? A besetting sin. It's that sin that the devil knows at the weak point to come and tempt you with. And God said, if you're going to stay in this race, you're going to have to lay aside some sin. This is a sin that captures the person easily and hinders his progress from going forward. Now again, God says, I want you to lay it aside. I want you to repent of it, to have a change of mind. Stop rationalizing. Stop saying it's okay. God says, I want you to lay it down. I heard one old preacher years ago say it like this. He said, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. And there comes a place when we have to make up our mind that this is wrong and that this lifestyle is destructive, and I will lay it down because my focus more than anything else is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 18 and verse 23 says, I was also upright before him. I kept myself from iniquity. Oh, listen, this should be our prayer. Lord, help me to be willing to lay aside whatever it is that hinders me from running the race that you've set before me. Years ago, I made a visit on a man's home in Sunnyvale, California. I knocked on his door and I told him I was from the church and had a record that his mother, in fact, had called and asked me if I'd go visit her son. And I asked him if I could talk to him for a moment. And Dennis said, sure, come on in. And I came into the home and I small talked with him for a little while. And then I kind of got right to the issue at hand. I said, Dennis, I'm here to talk to you about your soul. I'm here to talk to you about eternity. And I'd like to ask you this question, Dennis. If you died today, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? And he said, I really don't know that. I didn't know that anybody could know that. And I said, well, I'd like to take a minute and show you from the Bible how you can know. Would you let me do that? And Dennis said, that would be fine. And so I began to show him from the Bible how that all men have sinned and how that Jesus Christ, who had no sin, died on the cross so that all of us might have forgiveness. Oh, it was a wonderful time. He listened very intently. After about 35 or 40 minutes, I said, Dennis, would you like to pray right now and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, I'd like to do that. And so he bowed his head right there in his living room. And he said, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I ask you now to come into my life and forgive my sin and be my Savior. It was a wonderful moment. And Dennis was so happy. I shared with him some verses after that. And then I prayed with him. And it was a great time. Well, I shared some other verses with him and tried to encourage him to get a good start in his Christian life. And right about when I was getting ready to leave, he said, can you wait just 1 minute? He said, I have something I want to get for you. And so he went into the back room and he came into the living room and he had in his hand, he had a box. It was a shoe box. And I thought, well, this is strange. I mean, I've had, sometimes people have given me gifts that I led to the Lord or that I was a blessing to them. But I'd never had someone just on the spot give me something like a pair of shoes. And I said, well, thank you very much. He said, look inside. I looked in the box. It was not shoes at all. In fact, inside of that box, there were all kinds of pills and pipes and all kinds of drug paraphernalia and little bags of grass and some type of grass or something and chopped up there. And I looked at that and he said, I just figured now that I have Jesus in me, I shouldn't be putting these things in me. You say, well, what discipleship course taught him that? It was just that the Holy Spirit was now in his life and he was now being convicted that he had to lay aside some things. He said, would you take care of this for me? And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. I said, I sure will. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I walked out of the front door of that man's house. I had a Bible under this arm and I had a box of drugs under this arm. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. I could see the headlines tomorrow. Baptist preacher sells drugs door to door, something like that, you know. The media is always looking for a good story. And I tell you what, I got into the car and I put my Bible on the passenger seat and I put my drugs right next to my Bible and I put my coat right on top of it. And I buckled my seatbelt and obeyed every speed limit till I got over to a store that had a dumpster behind it. And I threw that stuff back in the dumpster and drove on my way. But I'll tell you what, here was a man, he had only been a Christian just a few minutes, but the Holy Spirit was convicting him that he could not live the Christian life if he didn't set some of these things aside. And I see many times Christians who set these things aside, but then after a year or two, they'll get a little discouraged and they'll go back and pick up some of the old life, just a little here and a little there. And then they become even more discouraged to the point that they're not staying in the race that God has for them. I just want to challenge you this morning. morning. Not because I get a brownie point, not because it makes the church look any better, but because I want to see you win the race. What is it that you need to lay aside this morning in your life in order that you might be here a year from now and 5 years from now and have children one day to say, I had a daddy who finished strong. I had a mommy who loved Jesus. What will it take today? There will be a discipline in your life. Notice secondly, though, not only the discipline of the race, but I want you to see the design of the race. Now, how has the Lord designed this race? What is His idea of this life? I mean, is it just a race of futility and there's no purpose to it? Well, let's look again at verse 1 of our text. It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, this race that is set before us is individual. Every one of us have a different lane. We're not to compare ourselves one with another, but we are to find our lane, our course, and the Bible says, first of all, it is a design to run. God has designed that we would run this race. And I mean by this, He wants us to move forward. He wants us to capture new territory. He wants us to go onward forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 these words, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, listen, I'm not just beating the air. He said, I want to connect. He said, I'm not just running around without any goal. He said, I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to receive that crown someday from Him. Paul the apostle said, I want to run in order that I may obtain. God says we're to run to a prize. We're running to a prize. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're not only to run for a prize, but we're to run to please Him. Paul the apostle said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Notice verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Paul said, for every Christian who lives his life with the coming of Jesus in mind, for every Christian who lives with an anticipation that it's not just about here and now, but it's about the day when we see Christ, there will be a crown, there will be a reward that we will receive. And I believe it's important that we are challenged like this to live faithfully and to run faithfully our Christian life. Notice there in verse 1 again, it says, let us run. It's a design to run. But notice secondly, it says, let us run the race. Notice it says, with patience. Let us run with patience. It is a design to run with patience. Now the word patience here means cheerful endurance. It means constancy. You know, as you run this life, this Christian race, you're going to find at times you'll be weary, and trials will come, and financial setbacks will come, and relationships will disrupt, and business will be up, and business will be down. And in this lifelong race, we must determine to be patient. Christopher Columbus, on his voyage to the Americas every day, would write a little something in his diary. But the thing that he wrote the most in his diary were just these little words that said, today we sailed on. Today we sailed on. You know, there will be days in your life where it's all you can do just to get up and go out and be faithful to God. But thank God for Christians who run with patience. James chapter 1 and verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God says, run with patience the race that is set before us. In Athens, long ago, there used to be games held in honor of the Greek gods and heroes. And one of the games that was run was a game that was called the torch race. This particular race was run in honor of Prometheus, one of the Greek gods. Now, this particular race involved racers going about a mile and a half outside of Athens. And they would light a torch. Each racer would hold a torch. they would then take the course of that race a mile and a half back into the city. And the person who reached the city limits with their torch still burning was pronounced the winner of the race.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. It will help you develop 2020 vision for what could happen when you launch out of the harbor of your comfort zone and learn what it means to have Christ on board. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.